We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Lord, I thank you that you only have good in store for us. So I come against every attack of the enemy, every attack of sickness. Jesus, you went to the cross and took stripes on your back so that we don't have to suffer under the consequences of sin. We don't have to suffer under the consequences of sickness, disease, or anguish, anxiety, Lord. But you said in your word to cast all of our cares upon you. And so, Lord, we give these cares to you, whatever they may be. However they've taken shape, we resist them. As your word says, resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, Father, I thank you that you heal each and every single one of these that have come forward. We thank you. We rejoice in advance by faith for healings, miracles, deliverance taking place here in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. We don't have to suffer. Not 1 minute. Amen. We don't have to suffer from sickness. We don't have to suffer from bondage. Amen. And we put the devil on the run here at River Church. We're not going to take it. We're going to tell him to take his grubby little paws off our body. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, God is good. He only has good in store for you. He only has good in store for you. He's only has good in store for you. Now I have to warn you, because every time in my life that I've ever received from the Lord, that liar, the deceiver, we spoke about it the last few Wednesday nights, the deceiver, the tempter, he's going to come and he's going to try and tempt you into wrong thinking and wrong believing. He's going to try and deceive you into getting you to not believe that you were healed. By his stripes, you were healed. And the only way that you get talked out of it is by listening to the devil's lies. That's why the Bible tells us to take authority, to take captive any thought that's contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says that you were healed, and you believe that, you receive it, and then you take a hold of it and make it yours in Jesus' name, amen? So don't be surprised if you leave here, you're driving home, and you get a thought in your mind, you didn't get healed. That stuff doesn't really work. That's just a bunch of Christian showmanship. It's a lie from the enemy. However that thought is going to come, he's going to try and tell you you didn't get it, and that's why the Bible calls it the fight of faith. We fight to stay in the faith. Amen? The devil fights us to get us into doubt, to get us into unbelief, to get us to doubt the goodness of God, but we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just start praying in the Holy Ghost and put those thoughts to run. You take authority over them in the name of Jesus and you say, devil, you're a liar. He is. He's been lying ever since he was cast out of heaven. He was jealous and now he's lying to mankind throughout all of our existence to get us to doubt how good God is, to get us to doubt God's word. But God's word is true. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's read first, or Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. We're going to read this over ourselves, and many of you are already familiar with it because I forgot last week, you know, got carried away dedicating everyone, but all the babies and children. But I try to read this every week over ourselves in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and we personalize it here. We say, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all. Say all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous. Say prosperous. Say it again. Say it once more. Prosperous. And then I will have good success. Say success. Say it like you mean it. Success. Hallelujah. And 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Amen? And then John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen? God wants you to have the life more abundantly. An abundant life is a good life. It's a life of health, blessing, wisdom, all of God's goodness. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this morning I want to share with you, with the time that we have remaining, on the God of exploits is what I'm calling this message. And in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read the last half of this verse, and you're probably familiar with it. It says, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Say, great exploits.
Great exploits.
I looked up the meaning of exploit just because it's not a word that we tend to use in our everyday speech, unless maybe in the negative sense of saying like you were exploited. But that's not the case here. The case here is talking about notably heroic acts. Notably heroic acts. You see, the people that know their God, if you know your God, you will be strong and you will carry out great exploits. You will do acts of heroism that is gets noticed by people. Amen?
Amen.
Is this for the Old Testament? Because that's where this scripture is found, after all. Of course not. You see, in John chapter 14 and starting in the 12th verse, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." What a powerful promise from God. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's why when we pray for people, that's why, like Arnav said, you rebuke them in Jesus' name. You rebuke the sickness, not the people, the sickness in Jesus' name, and that sickness has to go. That demon has to go. That whatever that is causing that, it has to go in Jesus' name. It doesn't have to be a long, lengthy process where I take you into a dark basement and try and do an exorcism over you and cast it out with weird candles lit all over the place. No, you just take authority in the name of Jesus. You know, religion gets weird ideas about how to do things. If we just stick to the gospel, if we just stick to the word of God, you find out that it's really simple. When Peter and John were going to the temple, they saw the man laying there who couldn't get up, and they said, "Stand up on your feet." And they grabbed him by the hand, and he stood up on his feet. It's not complicated. We take authority in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, whatever we ask in his name, he will do it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, that's not written to preachers. It's written to everyone. You know, I never really understood this word. They call people in congregations, they call them laymen. I am curious where they ever came up with that term. You know, but, you know, was someone just laying down and they're like, yeah, they're all, you know, he's laying down in church, they're the laymen. I don't know. I have no idea where, you know, I think it's just a strange word. We're just the people of God, amen? So if you're a child of God, if you've been born again, this scripture is for you, that you can ask God to do something. You can ask him for your own life, but you can also ask for someone else's life. And you know, the Bible says that what a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, I think that's the key sometimes to receiving your own healing, is going around and praying for other people to be healed. As you go and you pray for someone else and they get healed and you begin to see God move in their life, you start to do what Arnav did and start to think, well, I guess I'll take some too. I'll pray for myself. It worked for them, it'll work for me too. You take authority in Jesus' name and give out. Go out. You have the authority. God has given you the authority. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to read your Bible 2 hours a day or pray 3 hours a day. God has given you the authority in his name, in the name of Jesus, to go out, to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, and it says that it will happen. You just have to go out and do it. We have to go out and do it. The people of God have to go out and do it. One of my favorite scriptures from the Old Testament is this. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. And I'm going to read the first half now, and then we're going to come back and read the last half in a moment. The first half says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." God is looking throughout the whole earth for men and women that he can show himself strong through, that will perform notable acts of heroism, that will carry out great exploits. He's looking for men and women, not men and women that are perfect, not men and women that have everything together all the time, not men and women that are extremely popular, intelligent, or whatever. Now, if you're that, great. Even better. If not, who cares? They said about Peter and John that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they could tell that they had been with Jesus. God is looking for someone who's willing. That's what it takes, a willing heart, someone who will do something with what they've received from God, with the blessing that you've received from God, the healing that you've received from God, the salvation that you've received from God, to take that and to go out and to give it to someone else. And how do we do that? We go out and we pray for them. We declare the name of Jesus. We preach the name of Jesus. We lay hands on the sick and we just watch God move. It's that simple. We don't have to complicate it. You know, you don't have to go to explain all the doctrine as to how it's going to work. You just have to declare in Jesus' name and watch God move. And then the great thing is we're not responsible for the results. He is. We just simply have to believe in him and act. But he's looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to find a man and a woman that he can show himself strong through. Isn't that an awesome verse? But actually, this verse, you can see it in the latter half of that verse, is actually a warning to a great king, to King Asa. And I want to read the story to you, or at least parts of the story. It's a fantastic story from the Old Testament. It starts in the 14th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And I'm not going to, obviously for the sake of time, we're not going to be able to read the whole story here, but I want to read what took place in King Asa's life that brought this word to him from the prophet. So turn to this 14th chapter, starting in verse 9. "Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. Say 1,000,000 men. And that, and 300 chariots. Say 300 chariots. Now, what would you be more scared of? Just curious. 300 chariots or 1,000,000 men? I don't even know why they added the 300 chariots parts there. I mean, chariots, they're probably intimidating back then, but at this point, 1,000,000 men, I mean, that seems like I wouldn't even be concerned about 300 chariots. Sometimes I read the Bible, and that's just the way my mind thinks, is like, you know, who cares about 300 chariots? There's 1,000,000 people out there. I mean, that's like if all of Monroe County came up against someone, you know? I mean, that'd be intimidating enough. I wouldn't care if they had 300 cars with them. I'd just be like, there's 1,000,000 of them. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the message at all. Just that's just the way that my mind works when I read. And he came to Maresha. I probably butchered that pronunciation. Who cares? So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God. Look at this prayer. Look at what, you see, he cries out to the Lord, and look what he says. "Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you." Do you know that we're to rest on the Lord? That we're not to rest in our own power, in our own ability, in our own strength, in our own name, in our own achievements, but we're to rest on him. We're to rest on the Lord and his strength and his peace. That's why the Bible says to cast all your cares onto him, because he cares for you and cares about you watchfully. He cares for you. And we bring our cares to him, and then we don't pick them back up. Some people pick them back up. Some people, they go to the Lord in prayer, and they tell the Lord about the problem that they might be facing, or the issue, or the sickness, and they say, "Lord, just do something about it." And then after they're done praying and believing, they pick it back up and they say, "Man, I just keep struggling with this." Don't pick it back up. Take care to the Lord, give it to him, and then let him deal with it. Amen? Believe that it's done. Okay, so we rest in him. He said, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. In your name we go against this multitude. O Lord our God, do not let man prevail against you. So you have to make your battle the Lord's battle. You see, it was the king of Israel. They're going up against this army of 1 million Ethiopians. How many of you know that's a lot of Ethiopians? And so they go up against them. And he says that don't let man prevail against you. You see, you know when you're on God's side. You know when you're fighting God's battle, that you're doing his work. And then it's not a matter of them prevailing against you or not. It's a matter of don't let them prevail against you, God. Amen? And God doesn't want anyone to prevail against him. And so we make our case his case. Amen? You know, how do we do that? Well, Lord, I have this need to be met that needs to be met. I have this ailment that I want healed. Lord, I come to you in faith, and I don't want nobody to be able to see that you couldn't do it. So, Lord, I demand by faith. You can make a demand. Do you know people did that in the New Testament? That they demanded of the Lord? Do you know that woman with the issue of blood that she made a demand on the Lord? You can demand of the Lord because he said he'll do something for you. And you can demand your rights as a citizen of the king. I demand my provision. I demand my healing. Now, it might not come always the way that you think. It might come as a man spitting in some dirt and then rubbing it into your eyes. You know what I mean? It might come as saying, hey, go take a bath in the pool of Siloam. It might come as, hey, go dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. And it might not come the way that you want or the way that you think, but it always comes when we act in faith. Amen? Now look at verse 12. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah. And the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. And they carried away very much spoil. Say very much spoil. Very much. I mean, it would have been good enough just for the Lord to defeat the enemies. But the Lord, he's the God of more than enough. He's the God of exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. So he not only defeats your enemies for you, but he allows you to pick up the spoil. Amen? Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. I like that. Anytime you see the word exceedingly much. I mean, it's like exceedingly is good enough, but exceedingly much is even better. I'll take exceedingly much spoil. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Now, look what it says back in the 11th verse when he was praying. He says, we go in you, and in your name we go against this multitude. You see, isn't that similar to what Jesus said? That if we will pray, in John 14, verse 14, in your name, Jesus said, if we ask anything, if we demand anything in his name, he will do it. And these guys, they went out against 1 million soldiers and defeated them and took back the spoil. Why? Because they went in the name of a name that is above all names. Amen? And defeated them. And then let's go to the next chapter, verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now the Spirit came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went... Aren't you thankful that your name isn't Oded? Sometimes you just got to thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not named Oded. If anyone here is named Oded, I'm sorry. It is a biblical name. At least you got that going for you. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. Say that with me. The Lord is with you, while you are with him. This is what the Lord instructed the prophet to go and tell King Asa. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And some people are wondering why the Lord isn't with them when they're not even really with the Lord. They're trying to live their own way. live their own style, do whatever they want to do, and then wonder why they're not seeing the fruit of the relationship of the Lord that is promised to us all around them. Well, you got to ask yourself, are you with him? Because if you're with him, then he's with you. He said, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when, in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city. For God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the lands of Judah and Benjamin and the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altars of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, from Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him with great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Great numbers came and joined him when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. When the people around you see that the Lord is your God is with you, they will come with great numbers to be around you and to support you. When you start doing what God has called you to do, when you go out there and you pray for the sick and you see them recovered, you will see that people will come to you in great numbers because they know that you know something about the Lord. They'll know that you have that connection with the Lord that they would like. You know, and people think that it's some sort of secret connection that we can get. It's not a secret. Every single person can have that connection to our Lord. It's just a matter of believing in his name, believing and fellowshipping with him, becoming close with him, walking with him in his word, and then people will see that the Lord is with you. And they'll come to you in great number. Amen? Hallelujah. They'll come to you in great number. All right, so now we go to chapter 16, verse 1, and we're almost done with this story. I know we're running out of time. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, that he will withdraw from me. And then, this is when the seer prophet comes to him, and he tells him in verse 7, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, now you shall have wars. Asa was a great king. He did great exploits for the Lord. As he went with the Lord, and as he prayed to the Lord. You know that first battle, we didn't read it, but it's in the beginning of chapter 14. He had roughly 600,000 men already. And he could have depended on his own strength and his own might. It said that they were great and valiant warriors that he had with them. And even though he was going up against a million others, he could have relied on their training, on their military skill, and he could have relied on that. But instead, he cried out to the Lord and depended on the Lord. And yet, years later, after success had come all around him, after God had given him peace for 35 years, when now this king comes against him, the king of Israel, Baasha, he came against him, what didn't he do? He didn't go to the Lord, but rather he went to the king of Syria And he took the treasure from the temple and he gave it to the king of Syria in order that he could make a treaty with him. God wants us to depend on him. God wants us to believe in him. Even when you have the power, even when you have the might, even when you have the resources, he wants you to put your trust in him. Why? Because he wants to show himself strong in you. And from that time on, King Asa, even though he had become a great king, began to live a miserable life. It says that he began to oppress the people, and in a couple of verses later, it says that he became sick and diseased and only lived a few years longer because he had depended on his physicians rather than depending on the Lord. You see, God wants to show himself strong in you. How is he going to show himself strong? When you depend on him, when you go in his name, when you rest on him, not in your own ability, not in your own strength, not in your own power, not in your wisdom, not in your career, not in anything else but in him. When you give glory to him, when you say, God, I thank you that you're the strength of my life. When you say, God, I thank you that you're my healer. When you say, God, I thank you that you're my deliverer. That you're not depending on the government. You're not depending on the system. You're not depending on anyone else, but you depend on the Lord. When a need arises, you might not know how it's going to be met. But you say, Father, you said in your word that by Jesus Christ our Lord, you will supply all of my needs. Father, you said that by your stripes, we were healed. And you depend on him. And you don't have to depend on anyone else. Now, I'm not against other things. I'm not against people if they want to get help some other way. But the way that God shows himself strong is when you learn to depend on him. Now, I understand people are at different levels of their faith. But the only thing that stops you from going to the next level of faith is you. It's not anyone else. It's not like there's a scripture that says there's a certain time frame that you have to serve the Lord before you can do great exploits. Actually, if you read about Saul after he was converted, it says that he immediately went and began to preach the gospel in Damascus. Immediately he went out and began to proclaim Jesus, even though he had been known all around that region of the world that he was the persecutor of the church. He put his strength and his trust in the Lord, and the Lord showed himself strong through him. The Lord wants to show himself strong through you, but he wants you to depend on him, not on your job, not on your resources, not on your abilities or your intellect. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to go in the name of Jesus and believe him. And when you do that, he will do great exploits. We can reach Brockport. We can reach the campus. We can reach this world. All we have to do is go out in the name of Jesus and declare his greatness, to raise him up, to lift him up, to lift up the name of Jesus. And as you do that, he will show himself strong through you. He makes the way where there is no way. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you that what you did for one man, you can do for another. Father, I thank you that as you showed yourself strong through King Asa, Lord, I thank you that you can show yourself strong through us. But it's only as we depend on you. So, Father, today we depend on you. We thank you for everything that you've blessed us with, for resources, for finances, for doctors and medication. We thank you for all the blessings in this world that you've given us. But Lord, we thank you that we don't have to depend on any of it, but that we can depend on you, that we can put our faith and trust in you, that when sickness and disease tries to come against our body, that we believe in you and your word. When situations rise up against us and it seems like there's no way out, that we can put our trust in you, that when needs arise, that we have your word, and your word is true, that we can depend on you for provision. Lord, that we have freedom, that we have deliverance, that we have joy, that we have peace, that we have wisdom, that we have a sound mind, that we have all these good and precious gifts that you give to us. Lord, I thank you that we depend on you. From this day forward, we don't depend on the arm of the flesh, but we depend on you. And I thank you that as we do, you show yourself strong through us. That we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, the testimony of your goodness. that it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance, that we're a reflection of your goodness to a lost and dying world, that we're a light in the darkness, in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that for you, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You choose today to depend on the Lord. Amen. Let's give God some praise. You can clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.